says we are. On this thing, anyway.
Hello? Are we? The thing says, I don't know if it's happening. Wait, yes, we are live. Yay.
Yay. Okay, then.
So, yeah, hey, everybody. And welcome to, well, I guess no one who's actually listening to this live. I mean, if you're probably listening to this. You're probably not listening to this.
Probably not.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so welcome, nobody, to our postmortem of day zero of E3 2013. So, yeah, this is the day when all of the big press conferences happen. This was, so we're going to be going over the Microsoft press conference, the EA one, the Ubisoft one, and the Sony one. Talking about, you know, just what games we saw there, what stuff was announced, what we are looking forward to, what we thought was idiotic. You know, more so than usual, anyway. So, yeah, I'm the Dead Man. Join me today as Bobby Wan.
Hello.
So yeah, I covered the Microsoft and EA event. Bovi, you got Ubisoft and Sony.
Yep.
And we were going to like live blog these, but unfortunately, like 20 minutes into the live blog of Microsoft, like we were using Live Blog Pro, and. Like, it got to the point where I was, like, clicking publish on a thing, and then it was taking, like, a minute and a half to publish it. And then it was get to the point where, like, I would be able to, like, edit the thing that was posted, and the thing was still publishing, but the button was still said publishing. And then I had to, like, try to reload the thing to try to get things working again. They said, hey, couldn't connect to server. Okay, couldn't connect to server. Hey, couldn't connect to server. So I just said, fuck it. We'll be trying out more stuff with LiveBlog in sometime in the future, but for now, we fucked up. Well, I fucked up.
Dead Man.
So yeah,
pretty much Dead Man.
Yeah, I didn't see you contributing a lot to like what LiveBlog and service we should use. So yeah,
yeah.
But anyway, so the press conference that happened. So let's go in order. So we'll start off with the Microsoft press conference. So. I have notes.
I was working, so I have, like...
Yeah, so the press conference started out with a 6-minute game demo of Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain. In which, we got to hear approximately 10 seconds of Kiefer Sutherland as Snake. And his character now might be named Punished Snake or something. Like, it might actually be Solid Snake. It's weird. I don't
really.
I don't know. So here's the thing. I don't know anything about Metal Gear Solid, like at all. And so with going through, we just like near the end, it just started giving a like montage of characters who are going to be in the game. It was like Quiet, a sniper in a bikini, and like Ocelot, who now is or is not still possessed by the right arm of Liquid Snake, because I think that was a thing. Then there's Master Miller. And yeah, so the weird thing with this though was it was all game, like pretty much everything except for like the beginning, like 10 seconds and like the ending, like little montage thing. It was all like in game, like running in Fox Engine footage. But unfortunately, I can't actually tell you how the thing looks like it plays or how it looks like in general, because they time lapsed all of it. So yeah, it was like, hey, open world. Then like speed ahead. Like speed ahead for a good chunk of time, and then all of a sudden Snake standing on a rock. And then fast forward a bunch more. And I don't know why they did it. I really don't. And then Hideo Kojima kept up on stage and struggled to speak English for like half a second and left. I have no idea actually why they brought him out. It's like, hey guys, look, we have that guy. What made the thing? Bye.
Yeah, whenever you get, like, Japanese developers on the stage, it's, like, it's always very brief.
Yeah, it's... Japanese game developers have every right to be on stage as someone else, as, like, any other developer. But they should be up there with a translator.
Yeah, rather than trying to... I'll be honest, the same issue came up with Sony, with their international studio. The one thing that was done very well, I'll get into that later, actually. Never mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after that, we started, like, the guy started talking about more about the Xbox One and stuff, and specifically Xbox Live, like, how it would be, like, your Gold membership that you have on 360 will carry over to Xbox One, which is nice. And they're also introducing a PlayStation Plus-style thing, where anyone who is an Xbox Live Gold member will be getting 2 free games a month. So, the thing will be starting in July 1st, and the first 2 games people will be getting is Assassin's Creed 2 and Halo 3. So, you know. Yay. And
I wrote about this. Yeah, when the Sony press conference, we'll get into why that's not such a big deal.
Yeah, I wrote about this in the, the Long Lost Live blog. But, Sony, when they announced that they were like, hey, PlayStation Plus, you'll be getting free games every once in a while, that was a kind of a big deal. Because, you know, it was like an actual good reason to buy their thing. The PlayStation Network, you can still pretty much do everything on the PSN that you can do on the regular non-paying PSN account. The PS Plus one, it allows cross-game chat, deals on games, and the free games. This is in order to use a good chunk of the Xbox Live stuff, you need gold. This is hey, you're already paying for the service. Here's a bone. It really just felt like these guys were. This feels like kind of a desperation act. It feels like they're trying to get people not as pissed off at them about, the always online, the fucking Kinect that watches you, the non-returnable used games.
Well, I find when I was watching Yahtzee's guide to Buyer's Guide to Next Gen Consoles, something very true came up in that it is like a big poker game. And Microsoft put their hand down first, and Sony's just fucking loving it.
Yeah.
And I guess that was sort of Microsoft's, I don't know how far along they would have made that decision, but maybe they're trying to redeem themselves. Maybe they noticed their bad public image from it, other choices, but...
Yeah, I think so. A little bit before this, they actually did release, a whole, big thing. So, when, the Xbox One was initially announced, everyone was, freaking out. Oh, it's always going to be online. Oh, fuck, it's always going to be... Kinect's always going to be watching you. Oh, fuck, you have to pay money in order to install games on, another console. But then, some time passes, and then, before E3, they release a thing saying, hey, there won't be a fee. Xbox things will be... Xbox games, Xbox One games will be, freely tradable and such. And you only need to go online every 24 hours. And then, just before the event, they released another big thing saying, hey, guess what? Publishers now decide how many times you could trade a game.
See, they're still giving that power to publishers, though.
Which is a horrible
power,
idea.
Shouldn't exist.
It really shouldn't. Sony, did they say anything about used games?
That you can absolutely... Yeah, I swear they added points to their presentation after Microsoft's thing. They're you will absolutely be able to buy, sell, trade games as many times as you want. Yeah, they touched on used games, and I will get to it, but literally, they went point by point of, here's what Microsoft did wrong. Fuck that noise.
Yeah, I actually find it kind of funny that the PS4 kind of looks like the Xbox One. In terms of the kind, their thing is a bit more slanted, a bit more segmented, look more a bit futuristic-y, but just move that shit forward a bit. It's kind of the Xbox One.
Kind of.
Yeah, so anyway, moving on to the next thing that was announced, World of Tanks, Xbox 360 edition. So World of Tanks is this big, pretty big, tank free-to-play game on PC. That I haven't gotten a chance to play, but I've been kind of interested in. And it's going to be coming over to the 3 Xbox One, and I think Xbox 360 too. And it's going to be free to play still. So, hey. But
yay,
only free to play for gold. But only free to play for gold. So,
why am I getting excited about anything with the Xbox One? I've already decided I'm not getting that console.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so they showed like a couple seconds of that, like pre-render footage of that, and then some guy came out and said, "Hey, tanks, man." Then he left. The next thing that was announced was Max the Curse of Brotherhood. So this is a like stylized 2D platformer type thing where there's this guy, his name's Max, he's a kid, and his brother is a little asshole. And so one day, you know, he Googles how to make my brother disappear, and he finds an ancient spell. He recites it, and he thinks nothing happened. But then all of a sudden, a giant portal opened up, and some weird furry demon thing grabbed his brother and sucked him into hell or something. So then Max dove in after him, and now he has to, like, jump. Now he has to, like, traverse through layers of this weird nether plane and fight horrible boss demons in order to get his brother back, who is currently being tortured by Pedo Santa.
Pedo Santa.
Or something. I just remember a guy with a beard. I remember a guy with like a big bushy beard and a stupid hat. And it would like the brother is like brother was on like the rack and just being electrocuted constantly. And it looked okay. Like it was kind of the standard stylization that we've seen in a lot of games recently, and it looked like it played okay. It was like you had like a magic pencil that you're able to like manipulate the world with. You were able to like draw in blue and it created like a water jet that would burst you over a thing, or you'd be able to draw white lines that made like fire or something, like red lines. And it was a lot of like environment manipulation and just environment traversal stuff, and it looked well and it looked fine enough. But, you know, whatever. So moving on, we got a trailer of Dark Souls 2. It's Dark Souls, all right. I don't really know what else to say about that game. It's just Dark Souls. From the looks of things, it didn't look like they fucked it up that bad.
Yeah, and then I remember mentioning something about Dark Souls, but damned if I remember what I said.
Yeah, and then we finally got some info on Rise, the Crytek game that was like shown off at E3 like 2009 or something. And yeah, so Rise, if you don't remember, was originally going to be like a Kinect only, like hack and slash type of game thing, and now they have since changed that to be controller, all controller, because you know they realized that Kinect is shit. As they've like actually changed it up quite a bit. Like before, it was entirely first person, if I remember. Like, you look at these hands or something, and I might be remembering this entirely wrong, but now it's kind of God of War-y, but way more focused on QuickTime events than God of War. If you can believe that.
More QuickTime events than God of War.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, before with God of War, you get, like, the QuickTime events to do, like, a really elaborate finishing move on a boss monster or something. This, you get like, QuickTime events to do elaborate finishing moves on every guy you kill. You'd like run up, you'd hit him with your shield, you'd slash him with your sword, and then a little button appeared overhead. You press that, and then you go into a pre-canned animation that you do with QuickTime events. But the thing is, so with God of War, the QuickTime event buttons, they would appear on the screen, like on like either the top, like bottom, like your left or right or something, or in the corners or something, someplace where you'd be able to easily just see them quickly. They lit up and everything. But with this, the buttons are semi-transparent and only over the faces and heads of the enemies. So if you are... So the camera's in such a position where you are not in a good position to see your enemy, you won't know what button to push. Yeah. They fucked up QuickTime events. Yeah, then he just went on to... There's like a bit in the game where you were like in a line with all your bros and you had to like shield yourself from arrows coming in and then throw spears at the guys and then go collect a tower. It looked really generic and boring. But what didn't look really generic and boring? Killer Instinct.
Aww. Okay.
Yeah, Killer Instinct. Did you ever play like the old Killer Instinct games on like the, I think it was N64?
No.
It's this old school like fighting game from Rare. I actually think it was on the SNES. Yeah, it was on the SNES. It was like one of the like earliest polygonal fighting games, and people fucking loved it. You were able to like fight werewolf against raptor, which was, you know, awesome. And they're bringing it back. Like they renewed the trademark a while ago, and now they're bringing it back, and it looks pretty cool. Like, I am no expert on fighting games, but I thought Killer Instinct looked pretty awesome. And they actually had like a live stage demo, like an actual like one-on-one fighting match, which we'll get into a bit later. So moving on, Insomniac, you know, makers of Ratchet and Clank and all them stuff, they have announced a new game for the Xbox One, Sunset Overdrive. In this game, pop is ammo for your guns. Yep. It's weird. Like, the guy had a shotgun, and then some girl threw him a can of soda, and he, like, duct taped it to the bottom of his gun, and then his gun started glowing with orange lightning. And he shot some zombies. Mm. But this game, it had, like, it was really weird because you... Everything is, like, insanely stylized. Like, the world is all, like, bright pastel colors. There might be, like, some kind of, like, skyline system from, like, Bioshock Infinite where you jump into the air and you just have a crowbar that you hook onto, like, a wire and just go start flying through the city shooting dudes. And then it also has, like, the zombies from Crackdown 2. And I'm saying like a lot in this. I just noticed that.
A lot of things are like other things.
I don't know, man. It is just... Yeah, Sunset Overdrive, it looks okay, I guess. I don't even care. Like, I was falling asleep during the EA one and the Microsoft one. It managed to at least keep me awake a bit. But just going back over and thinking about it again, it's just making me so tired.
Yeah, my press conferences both managed to be interesting. Particularly the second one.
Yeah, I'd imagine. It is a shame that I'm the one that had to stay home and do these. Anyway. So Sunset Overdrive, it looks okay, I guess. So moving on to Forza 5, which was revealed through a car. They actually had like a car on stage. I think it was like the McLaren P1 or something. It was a car where this kind of car, there are only two of them in existence right now. It's like beyond Formula One specs or something on the car. And the car was apparently a metaphor for the game. Something about high performance and quality or some bullshit like that. But we also got a new word to make fun of someone for. Drivatar.
Really?
Drivatar. Let that word sink in. Drivatar. So for the Drivatar, it is an AI system that watches how you play and then like watches how you play and learns how you play, so it's able to recreate how you're playing. So it's basically a system designed so you have to play the game as little as possible.
What?
I have no idea, dude. It is the weirdest goddamn thing. I think it might be something to do with like the multiplayer, where like as you start driving more, it like learns your ways of doing stuff, and then if you go into a match with, you're able to go in like the special mode where you can bring in the drivatars of your like family members from the cloud, and then drive against your family without actually having to drive against your family. So it's either having to play the game as little as possible, or having to play the game with other people as little as possible, but still playing the game with other people, which is the most bizarre goddamn thing I've ever heard.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. But hey, Minecraft's coming to Xbox One. Woot.
Wow, I'm surprised. No, I'm not. If they did not bring Minecraft over to the Xbox One, that'd be the stupidest thing they did since making the Kinect always on, or making the Xbox have to check in, or...
Yeah, it would be the stupidest thing they did since they announced the Xbox One. So moving on to the next game, Quantum Break. We actually got something that resembled game footage, maybe. So this game was announced at the like reveal event for the Xbox One. And what we got was 30 seconds of live-action footage and 5 seconds of in-game footage. I'm not even kidding. It was the worst reveal for a game I've seen in a while. And then we get this trailer, which actually had, you know, some pre-rendered stuff, which is at least in engine, I hope. And I honestly don't know what the live action stuff had to do with this stuff. Like the live action stuff, there was a little girl who was with a family who may or may not have been hers. And she was saying she's dangerous, and the mom's like, what makes you so dangerous? And then it cuts to in-game footage of a boat, like, time jumping into a bridge. And then it cuts back to the girl in the van driving away. And then this stuff, it's like two government agents who are going into some time-dilated area where a woman's about to be blown up, but then the guy grabs her and, like, brings her into their time dilation field, and then everything starts breaking down, they have to run away. What did that have to do with the little girl? Like, at all. Made no sense.
Man, you completely lost me. I wasn't even able to, like, process what you said.
Yeah. So this is a new game from the makers of Alan Wake and Max Payne. I almost said Sam and Max.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. It's from the makers of Alan Wake, and I can't follow it.
Yeah. So moving on to something that moving on to something else that I won't be able to follow. D4, the new game from Swery 65, the maker of Deadly Premonition. So for those who don't know, I love Deadly Premonition, and it's a kind of Persona 4 love in that I've never actually played the game. I've just watched hundreds of hours of other people playing the game, and it is so goddamn weird. And now the guy has a new episodic mystery game coming out called D4. That's all we know. I have no goddamn idea, but I'm so excited for it. So then moving on, Smart Glass. They are still saying this is good.
Moving on.
No, this is actually something that I want. This is actually something that I want to talk about. So the Smart Glass thing, it started out with Rise. It was saying, hey, guess what? Like, you're able to track your friends' statistic things. Like, you're able to see how far along they are in a game, and you're able to, like, see their achievement progress and stuff, and you'll be able to, like, have a real-time leaderboard seeing who's doing better in the game. And the game will, like, bring up hints. And you can also set up your weird, like, background matchmaking thing for other games. So you're playing Rise, so they, like, set up a matchmaking thing for a match of Killer Instinct. They go to play Rise, and then I think Pablo says, hey, you want to play Killer Instinct? And then go, okay, boom. They jump to Killer Instinct. And then they start playing it, and the woman was getting her ass whipped because it was a woman on stage, which I know is shocking. So she was up on stage getting her ass kicked by this guy in Killer Instinct. Why did I say Mortal Instinct? This doesn't have a K in the Instinct. And then during the match, the guy said something that the internet took umbrage with. So the guy who was fighting her got her in a combo that was like going for a while, and he said, just lie there, just let it happen. And the internet went, rape jokes, not cool. Which I didn't really see the problem with it. It wasn't really a rape joke. It was a, you are stuck in a combo, just wait it out joke. Like, I've heard other people talk about it like that, and I've never once heard accusations of rape.
Yeah, but there's a woman.
Of course, whatever. Fuck people. Yeah, so after that, they moved on to talking a bit more about Xbox Live and how there are going to be no more Microsoft points. Everything will be in local currencies.
Well, there's something.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We're going to be getting into some of the news that was released that we didn't talk about on here. But Microsoft doesn't understand local currencies at all. So moving on to the next game. It is the new game from the people who brought you Panzer Dragoon, Crimson Dragon. You play as a guy riding a dragon. It looks kind of awesome. But the hilarious thing about this was when they actually showed off the trailer for it, they didn't have any people like come out and say, hey, guess what? Look, it's a new game for the guys who made Panzer Dragoon. They just went into the trailer, and the trailer had no sound. So it was just like video footage while everyone in the audience was laughing their asses off at it. It was hilarious. Yeah, so after that, they moved on to Dead Rising 3, where you play as a guy named Nick. and everything's a lot darker and grittier, which is a horrible move.
Yeah, Dead Rising is not meant to be that serious of a zombie game.
Yeah, it's like they took an old, it's like they took a Dead Rising game, then put it through like a Call of Duty filter. Because not only is, so if it was in color, it would look, it would look fair enough like a Dead Rising game, but doesn't, but it wasn't in color. It was in sepia tone. For some reason, because hey, it's the future of video games. The next the next generation groundbreaking innovation is making everything have no color. Like, I cannot tell you this guy's hair color. I cannot tell you this guy's, like, I cannot tell you the color of this guy's shirt. I cannot tell you anything about this guy except his name is Nick and he has a wrench. And there appeared, and there appeared to be a bit more emphasis on guns this time around, because as they were running through, the guy was like, the guy said, let's get a weapon that's a bit more like better for fighting in the dark indoors. And he gets a gun with a flashlight on it. Instead of, you know, a flashlight and a stick. Or just,
yeah, it
a
should
flashlight.
Be like a flashlight mounted to a baseball bat mounted to an axe. Sorry,
yeah,
duct taped.
Lots of duct tape. But no, instead, it's guns and everything's gray and brown, so fuck you. Yeah, so moving on, we got some Witcher 3 stuff, which is confirmed coming to Xbox One. And the Witcher 3, I am still a bit iffy on the entire Witcher franchise. But you can fuck a mermaid in Witcher 3, so I'm okay with that.
So moving on,
Battlefield 4. They showed us a gameplay footage of this, a little gameplay demo. But they had that same problem, where they started playing the thing and there was no sound. But it was hilarious, because there were actually guys on stage, they introduced it, and then they started playing it. They started playing the video and there was like, wait, there's no sound. And everyone started laughing and the guy's like, be quiet. Just turns the crowd, tells them to shut up, it's like, and they starts over, it's like, let's start again, shall we? It goes back to it, and now they have audio. But it's just really hilarious seeing this guy, like, seeing someone on stage to tell the press to just shut up. It's like, stop laughing at our technical difficulties. Yeah, moving on to the next game, Below, the new game from Capybara. It's a game. We didn't really get to see much of it except for like a few minutes of some bright dots walking down hallways in a cave underground or something. I don't know. The trend I noticed with this E3, at least with the press conference that I've seen, is that every game that anybody wanted to know anything about got like a 15-second trailer, and everything no one gave a fuck about got like 10 minutes of footage.
Yeah, and particularly a lot of the games like that don't hold much interest, like driving games, got gameplay shown, whereas others got pre-rendered.
Yeah. Like the new game from Black Tusk Studios. So if you remember back in December, it was announced that, you know, Microsoft Game Studios Vancouver would be getting rebranded as Black Tusk Studios and be working on a new AAA franchise for Microsoft, the next Halo, as they called it. And what did we get from this? A 30-second trailer of some fireworks and a guy jumping in a window. That was it. No title, no gameplay, no anything. Just, hey, look, fireworks, then Black Tusk Studios. And it was bullshit.
Well, Microsoft's not going to have another Halo because they sort of lost
Halo.
The developer.
Well, they have 343, the guys who made like the last, they made like big chunks of like the last two or three Halo games before Bungie just like jumped the cage. Or whatever the fuck the saying is. But they wasn't saying they're going to be making like a literal next Halo. They were saying, making the next tentpole franchise. You know, your next Gears, your next other Xbox exclusive franchise. Your next Blinks the Time Sweeper. That's something they should bring back. There's so much potential to be had in a game about a cat with a vacuum that controls time fighting pigs. The game is weird. Anyway. So moving on, and after the Black Tusk thing, we got a trailer for Halo 5. It started out like a trailer for Journey 2. This time it's personal. Like, Master Chief, he was walking through, like, there was just some, like, cloaked figure with, like, a huge hood up in, like, some raggedy-ass, like, burlap sack they made into a cape walking through the desert. We didn't see anything of them, and then all of a sudden the desert, like, opened up in front of them, and the giant Transformer thing shoved in front of him, and then just blew his hood back, and it's Master Chief. And I'm like, wait, what?
Why is he wearing a cloak?
I have no goddamn idea. Like, people could make the argument, like, oh, it's in the desert, he's the cloak. It's like, he's in a fucking suit of armor. I'm guessing it's temperature controlled in there.
It is.
Yeah, and then he pulls out Cortana's data disk or whatever the fuck it is. And then he dives the giant monster that says, Halo, coming 2014. Not numbered Halo, just Halo. And then finally, we wrapped up the press conference with Titanfall, the new game from Respawn Entertainment. These guys, people know who Respawn is. The reason we're up here is because it was the company founded by the two guys who founded Infinity Ward, who then left that company and then started their own thing, and then one of the guys left that company. Yeah, they're here. They're
fragmented.
So yeah, they're here. They have their new game, which we haven't seen or heard anything about in fucking years. But yeah, so it's Titanfall. It is a multiplayer-focused first-person shooter with giant robots. So, you know, it sounds pretty cool, I guess. It looks like Call of Duty, and it might play like Call of Duty too, but you have a jetpack on your guys, so it might be a bit more traversal focused, which would be nice. It'd be nice to, like, shake up the formula of what Call of Duty was. And these guys, they know how to make that formula work. Like, after they left, Call of Duty games went to shit. Like Modern Warfare 2 was, I think, the last game these guys worked on, and then they went on to do after they left, they did Modern Warfare 3. Modern Warfare 3 was terrible in, like, compared to Modern Warfare 2. Like, it was so much slower, so much heavier. Everything just felt worse. But yes, now they have the new one, and they have the robots, which look okay. I just have the problem that they're gonna be way too slow. Like, the problem that I have with a lot of mech games is that everything just moves way too slow.
Yeah, it's like a first-person shooter. Like, when you're just running as a dude, had anvils on your feet.
Yeah, when you're playing as just a dude, you know, like, run, jump off a ledge, then get back, then get on, land the ground, then keep running again. Like, immediately. But with mechs, it's always, you have to trundle up to the side, you jump off really high because of your jetpack, and then you crash into the ground, you have to wait, like, 5 seconds for him to, for his, like, legs, hydraulics to steam out, and then stand back up regular again to walk again. It always just feels way too slow, breaks the flow of the game. And this is a game designed around mechs, so maybe they figured out how to make mechs, you know, work in combat. But anyway, that was Microsoft.
Easy, use anime rules.
Oh, actually, no, this.
For mechs.
You use anime rules. Yeah, well, so after all this, they finally came out and announced a soft release date for the Xbox One, as well as the price for the Xbox One. So it'll be coming out in November to 22 markets around the world. It'll cost you $500. Yeah. And so that's $500 in the United States, and it's 500 euros in Europe, and 430 pounds in the UK. With the exchange rates being what they are, Europeans will have to pay $660, and in the UK, they'll have to pay just shy of $670.
Honestly, PS4
exchange
was
just rates.
Bad
They're
for the
thing.
Exchange rates.
I'd imagine so. Well, so other things that came out of this thing, because I got news here, it was the Project Spark Game Maker. Which is this weird thing that lets you make games with it. It's coming to Xbox One and Windows 8. And it's used during, and it's used with the voice and gesture commands of the Kinect, as well as smart glass to create a bunch of different terrains, change time of day, you know, build towns, and a whole bunch of other crap. You're also able to write very basic AI codes for, like, brains that you put into NPCs and objects and stuff that give them personalities. So in the stage demo, what the guy did was he put a pet brain into a rock, and then the rock started jumping around and following you, and then he was able to put a warrior brain into the rock that turned him into some weird mini golem of death that started going around hunting dudes. Then they turned him into a mech. So, yeah, mechs.
Yay, mechs.
So, yeah, so Quantum Break, it's apparently going to be tied into a TV show where the choices that you make in the game affect how the TV show progresses. Remedy says it's creating a personalized TV show, and that the choices and that the interplay between players and the choices they make, quote, changes your entertainment experience into a new type of storytelling. Now, I completely missed that when it was originally announced. I only found out about it because I was going through like my news feeds trying to find news stories that I missed. And as soon as I saw that, I was just having like NOM flashbacks of the Xbox reveal event. Just, oh God, so much TV. So much TV. Yeah. So they also announced that there will be a new Xbox 360 coming out. It's going to be just new design. It's a design that is like based off of the Xbox One design. It's smaller, sleeker, and more quiet than ever before, according to them. And it kind of looks like a DVD player I had once back in the day. Like one of those like early like Gen 1 DVD players. Yeah. So the new Xbox 360 is available today for the same price as the current Xbox 360s. And then finally, Microsoft has partnered with Twitch to reveal like live game streaming through Twitch on the Xbox One. You'll be able to just in the middle of a game just use Kinect, say, hey Kinect, stream this shit, and then it'll stream it out to your Twitch channel.
Yeah,
and
no,
the guy
PS4 totally doesn't have something like that.
It has Ustream.
With a button.
Yeah. Yeah, so the guy on stage so that other Xbox Live users will be able to participate and impact the game using Twitch, which I don't know what the fuck that is. So yeah, that's happening. God, I'm really tired.
By the way, I don't mean to seem so pessimistic about the Xbox One, and normally I don't get so polarized over consoles, but like, I think if consoles go the way the Xbox One is going, then the future will be bleak and evil.
Oh yeah, totally. Everything's going to be terrible on that. Yeah, so then moving on to the next thing, the EA press conference.
Ooh. Yay.
So this one was a lot better than Microsoft.
Okay, because, well, there's at least one thing you're going to talk about that I'm going to be excited about. But
okay, so first up, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. They took Plants vs. Zombies and turned it into a shooter.
Really?
Because,
really,
hey, it's EA.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Really? Really? Really? So all the different plants that you're able to pick and like plant in Plants vs. Zombies, you now control them. There's the pea shooter, which is your basic thing that just, you know, mid-range stuff like that. Then there is the melee class, which I don't remember the name of, but it's basically a shark. Then there is the healer, which is the sunflower. And there's a cactus, which is your long-range guy. Because, you know, cactuses, great snipers. I know it's cacti.
Well, of course, they're all cowboys, so...
Yeah, and so the zombies will come up just like normal, but it seems to be playing more along the lines of Super Monday Night Combat or something like that, like a one-player Super Monday Night Combat where you just have lanes where the enemies are going to be showing up and you just fight them off in those lanes. You're able to set up turrets and stuff. And occasionally a not a zombie, a boss zombie will show up. Like in their thing, they had the disco zombie show up, and then the gargantuas, and then the gargantuar zombie, and it was bring your imp to work day, so he had a tiny zombie on his back. And then a zombie mech. Because, hey,
fucking
mechs.
Mechs, man, they're everywhere.
2013, year of the mech. You know how 2012 is year of the bow? 2013, year of the mech. Hashtag, year of the mech. Anyway. So after that, the guy also said that there'd be a new, like, proper Plants vs. Zombie game coming to, you know, platforms and stuff. And they also announced Peggle 2, then jumped into the air and left. He's like, Peggle 2, jumps in your place, starts playing epic music, and then he just leaves.
Really?
It's kind of hilarious. Yeah. So they showed off some more Titanfall. I talked about that already. Then we got Need for Speed Rivals, the follow-up to, I think, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, which is, you know, cops versus robbers. Well, cops versus racers, sorry. Because that is the ultimate rivalry in the streets, according to this thing. I don't even fucking care right now, dude.
I'm getting sick of racing games having storylines that don't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even... It's just the stupidest thing. When I originally saw the thing, the original, like, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, well, not the original one, the one they showed off, it looked really, like the first, the one that came out before this, it looked really cool. It was just, you know, stupid fucking racing thing of, hey, look, race and cops and races and blah. And that was fine for what it was, but now they're going that same route. The color palette in this is really washed out. And it all looks really toned down and boring. Which is strange, because the entire game was cops destroying race cars. And probably the people inside them, too. Anyway. So after that, Aaron Paul, or whatever the fuck his name is, from Breaking Bad came out.
Okay.
And he said, hey. And he said, hey, I'm in the Need for Speed movie. Look at the movie. Bye. So yeah, they played a trailer for a movie at a gaming convention. And my cat is now on the table.
I hate what the gaming world is coming to.
Yeah, I really do. Well, so after that, I can't click to... I think there we go. We got a small teaser trailer for Dragon Age Inquisition, the new Dragon Age game. It was underwhelming. It was just, hey, dungeons, and this lady from the first one, and go, game, 2014. And then we got the exact same treatment with the fucking Battlefront, the new Battlefront game, Star Wars Battlefront.
It's okay, just the knowledge that it's coming.
Yeah, it's being developed by DICE, the guys who make Battlefield. And it looked like it was taking place on Hoth.
I saw what claimed to be leaked gameplay footage. I don't know how legitimate this was. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, they didn't have any gameplay footage. They had a pre-rendered cinematic.
Not from
Yeah, they had a pre-rendered, like, at the event, they had a pre-rendered cinematic of, like, a rebel fighter coming down, and then an AT-AT foot, and then Battlefront, 2014. Then we move on to sports. Oh, joy. So they talk some more about the Ignite engine, and, you know, that whole shenanigans. Then they had a guy coming out doing spoken word slam poetry about dribbling. Cat, get down. Go, cat. Okay, so they had some guy, like, doing spoken word slam poetry about dribbling at a basketball game. Then Dana White of the UFC came out and threatened the audience if they didn't like fighting. He was probably the most... He was probably the best thing about the fucking EA press conference, because he was just so goddamn insane. And he was the one who actually seemed the most enthusiastic. Everyone up there was like, yes, I'm like announcer enthusiastic, or hi, I don't know what I'm doing here. I like fucking Aaron Paul. He's a good actor. He just seemed so goddamn bored. He was like, hey guys, like you, I love to play the video games. Watch this trailer for me in a movie about the video games. Bye. And then left. But Dana White, he was insane. He was like, yeah, guys, so fighting was like the first sport ever. It was like the first sport fucking ever. And anyone who does fighting is in our DNA. It's our human DNA. If you don't like it, I will beat you up. I will fuck you up, people. Play UFC, goddammit. And it was so hilarious. And then he moved on to FIFA, where Drake showed up. The rapper.
Hmm.
You know, that well-known sports personality who loves the soccer's footballs, has well-known connection to the FIFA franchise, who showed up for like 10 seconds to say, hey, I like FIFA, here's FIFA. FIFA. These first two press conferences, it just felt like they grabbed whoever they could off the street and they said, hey, read this thing off a thing and then we'll pay you like $10. But
I will say Ubisoft probably felt a little bit like that, but
yeah. But probably the coolest thing about this whole thing was Battlefield 4, where they showed up the 64 player multiplayer with 64 people on stage.
Wow, that is impressive.
They had the whole like LAN setup they were doing. They also had like commander mode going, which is some new feature that lets people do like send out commands and deliver intel to like artillery fire from tablets and other like devices across battle log. So it's basically like a smart glass thing, but a smart glass thing that actually looks like it could be useful. Like having like a tactical bird's eye view of the map.
Tactical bird's eye view, delivering artillery. It almost sounds like Battlefield 2.
I know.
It almost sounds like all those features in Battlefield 2 that I really liked that they took out of Battlefield 3.
Yeah, so that's gonna be happening.
That bringing those back might be a good idea.
Yeah, and bringing it back with the only thing that makes smart glass look interesting and like looks like something that could be actually useful to gameplay. But yeah. So then finally, they announced Mirror's Edge 2. It's now officially a thing. Yeah, and so this Mirror's Edge 2, they showed off like a few seconds of like pre-rendered gameplay stuff, and then, hey, Mirror's Edge, it's coming when it's done.
I don't care. That was the release date. I don't care if they say it's coming when it's done. That means they'll put the appropriate amount of work into it.
Yeah. And so, for new stuff that wasn't covered in the actual press conference, but still relevant to this stuff. So, the new Mirror's Edge is going to actually be a reboot of the franchise.
I can see why they might want to do that.
Yeah, so according to DICE senior producer Sarah Jansen, we introduced Mirror's Edge and Faith to gamers 5 years ago, and we've waited for the right moment to reunite them. Thanks to the Frostbite engine and a new generation of platforms, we're able to deliver a richer world that players will be able to explore with a new level of freedom in both movement and action. And so, yeah, this is an origin story for Faith. Like, the trailer they showed her getting her face tattoo. And yeah.
So wait, does that mean this is like more open world? I would really love Mirror's Edge to be like open world.
Maybe, who knows?
Because that'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah, so that does it for my press conferences. Let's move on to Ubisoft.
Alright, Ubisoft. When I finally got my stream working, it was partway through a trailer for Splinter Cell Blacklist. I didn't really get to see much of it.
Yes,
so skipping right ahead to Rayman Legends.
Yes, I want this game.
So we saw two things for Rayman Legends. The first one being a bit misleading was a trailer. It was not made in engine, obviously.
Okay.
Because the game, with the actual gameplay, still has the same style as Rayman Origins. But the trailer had a really interesting style, where it was, like, still really cartoonish, but still, but also the high res and in three dimensions. The trailer looked awesome, and I'm not going to say it's too disappointing that the game doesn't look like that, because that look doesn't really look good for Rayman, but a game needs to be made that looks like that.
Okay, I can't wait for this game. Like, I love Origins. I can't wait for Legends.
And it says it is the biggest Rayman ever.
Sickness.
I guess we'll move on to the next game they announced. The Mighty Quest for Epic Loot.
Ah, yes, this one, which has recently went into closed beta.
Yeah, you basically, you have your own castle, where you get to set up traps and stuff to try and stop people from taking your treasure, and then you go and invade your friends, or you invade other people's treasures, including your friends, through social media. And then you get to leave a calling card saying that
social media is trying to...
jack
your shit.
So basically, you get to leave a calling card saying
that you
were... saying that you were there to take their treasure, so... It's basically a way for you to be a dick to your friends.
Wow.
And it's a game that lets you be a dick to your friends. Well, now there's a game for it. Be a dick to your friends with this game.
Yeah. I think like the PS4 is kind of a way to make, be a dick to your friends, because like you're able to... Like, you actually are able to, like, take over gameplay control in someone else's game, like, on their, like, from your own console. So, it seems like a good way to, like, troll people. Just, they find a workaround and just able to, like, jack anyone's game anywhere they want.
Well, that sounds kind of like Watch Dogs, but we'll get into Watch Dogs soon.
Okay.
The next trailer that came up was South Park Stick of Truth, but my stream died.
Yes. Oh, you son of a bitch.
So I wasn't able to watch it.
I want this game, damn it. But it is coming, but I do know that South Park Stick of Truth is coming out this holiday season. Which is nice, I guess.
Okay, so the next thing that they announced was they mentioned how we had to put the whole next-gen hardware to the best use with The Crew, which is a driving game. Which actually has a couple of cool concepts, though. Despite my distaste for driving games. Now, well, first I want to talk about the plot, which I dislike, before I get to the cool concepts that I do like.
Okay.
The plot. You are trying to infiltrate a criminal organization and take it over one city at a time. Here's my issue with it. It's all in cars without guns.
So it's not like only are Fast these and criminals, the Furious minus guns?
Yeah, these criminals are like very inefficient, and it doesn't help reduce casualties at all because you're just running people the fuck over.
Well, fuck people. They deserve a slow death by car.
And, so yeah, there are a couple cool concepts in this game. One is a concept that actually will be getting into a lot in all the games I'm covering, is how the online works.
Okay.
So, basically the online concept is that if you are online, it's not like joining a game, joining a race. Okay, so the game basically takes place across all of the United States. When you go online, you're basically in an open world with other players. So
Okay. Any car you drive past from one side of the country to the other?
I believe so. And any car you drive past could either be generated or could be an actual player. And yeah, so you're able to create rivalries or get people to join your crew and help you out. So yeah, this is a concept that's going to come up a lot in the games. The whole open world online. It'll work real well with the Xbox One, which, you know, will be pretty much almost always online.
Mm-hmm.
The other concept I like is in a lot of racing games, you get to customize your cars. But it's not a lot of customizing it for your driving style. It's customizing it just to get the next best thing on a list as you can afford it.
Mm.
In this game, since it's open world, you get to basically choose whether you are more off-road, whether you are more on-road, whether you're more aggressive in taking down cars, whether you're more for speed. So you get to basically design your car to tailor it to your gameplay.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, the one other cool thing is there is sort of a cross-platform thing. You can take a tablet, build your car, and import it into the game.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't love smart glass?
So moving on from the crew. Okay.
That rabbit's
Watch
thing?
Dogs.
Watch Dogs.
No,
okay.
Not rabbit's thing. I don't think rabbits is next. Did I skip over the rabbits? Fuck the rabbits. That's TV anyways. I shouldn't have even talked
about
it.
I didn't watch the press conference.
The rabbits is TV, so I'm not even going to talk about it on here. So Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs is... Yes. Okay. I'm going to save most of my talking about Watch Dogs for the Sony press conference. Because here's the thing that Ubisoft did. They didn't show gameplay for Watch Dogs, which is their game. But Sony did.
Mm-hmm.
So, all I saw here was a trailer and a basic concept. The basic concept is cool, that there's a vigilante hacker.
Yeah.
Of course, can tell from the trailer and from the gameplay that you need some suspension of disbelief about how hacking works. In fact, you need to completely suspend your disbelief.
I touched a button on my cell phone and I turned off all the power in the city.
Yeah, so if you can get over that, it'll be a fun game.
Yeah, but it's the weird thing because, like, remember a couple weeks ago we reported on the news that Ubisoft was actually, like, contacting a real, like hacking group, like a hacking security group to get, like, details on actual hacking techniques and stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I'm guessing that Ubisoft did that to make sure that there was absolutely no real hacking in their game.
They did make sure people's beliefs be suspended. Yeah, they called those guys in to make sure that their, like, people's disbelief could just be suspended. Like, brought to the brink of being, like, suspension disbelief.
Well, actually, it is kind of a good idea to make sure you have no real hacking techniques in your media, because then people learn it. It's the same reason when Mythbusters does certain things, they don't tell you their process because they don't want you knowing how to do this shit.
Like that one game that had actual recipe for meth in it. I actually showed you how to cook meth.
Yeah, so you tend to try and avoid putting things like that in games, so maybe Ubisoft was contacting these hackers to make sure that, like, absolutely none of their hacking was real.
Yeah, hopefully.
But yeah, it looks like a cool concept from the gameplay I've seen. Like, the hacking works pretty well, but there's also... I'd say it's sort of like a Grand Theft Auto-styled world. Open world with missions. There's this whole thing of someone calling the police on him.
It's kind of just sandbox.
Yeah, it's sandbox. It's sandbox. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. What game after? Okay, Just Dance 4. It's Just Dance 4. Oh, yeah. It's six players.
It's
so
the
now
shittier
you can
version
confuse...
of Dance Central.
You can have up to six players now, so you can confuse your Kinect even more.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah, that game's on Kinect. Right, I forgot about that. I thought it would just—I really hoped that the thing had just stayed on the Wii. I really hoped it would. Like, we already have Dance Central and the Kinect and stuff. Dance Central is great. Fuck anyone who says otherwise.
Okay, so Skippy over Rabbids because that's a TV show. We've got Assassin's
Creed
4
Black Flag. Man.
It's not interactive. Actually, I will touch on this briefly. It's not interactive. Here's my big issue I had with it. They showed a demo of kids doing one of the interactive games. It's an overlay. The characters don't actually react at all.
Television. Why do you gotta try to get into our video games?
Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't, like, DVDs already have this shit? Couldn't I just sit here imagining I'm doing this shit?
Yeah, I'm guessing like those pack-in games that came on DVDs and specials, like selection and special options menu, those are probably more immersive and like interactive than this game is.
Anyways, moving on from fucking Rabbids. Assassin's
you probably
Creed
shouldn't
4
fuck
Black Flag. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. We saw a trailer, which is to be expected. And we saw in-game footage, which was basically a bunch of cinematics.
Woo, cinematics.
Now,
who downloads cinematics?
The other fun thing. This is yet another game where Ubisoft didn't show us gameplay, but Sony did. And the game.
Yeah, Sony has
looks...
the exclusive content for Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Yeah, so Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag gameplay, it looks a lot more Assassin's Creed than Assassin's Creed 3 did. The one thing I gotta say might end up being an issue is the naval combat.
Okay, what's that?
People might end up disliking that. Where, like, ships are fighting, and you're on one of the ships.
Yeah, I know what it is. But why would people dislike it?
Like, it seems to break the pacing of the game. The whole parkour, stab, now get on a ship and turn at the right time.
Yeah, they had stuff like that in AC3.
Now, this, from the one ship fight I saw, it went pretty quickly from ships firing cannons at each other to them crashing and you parkour onto the ship and stab people.
Okay.
And some of the shit you can do for takedowns is pretty cool. The dual pistols are going to be pretty kick-ass, although a bit OP, if you ask me.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts on Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Seed.
So Trials.
Who doesn't love it? Yeah, Trials! Fucking Trials!
We have some Trials shit going on, and I put no details on my Twitter. One is Trials
Fusion.
Motherfucking
Trials. Yes, Trials Fusion is the one heading to consoles. Trials Frontier is heading to smartphones.
Thank you, Deadman. And,
yep.
Yeah, it's more fucking Trials.
Yeah, so Trials Fusion is actually be heading to the 360, Xbox One, PS4, and Windows PC. So fuck you, PS3 players. And the other ones have a smartphone. The tagline for the games is "One Future, Two Trials." And the games are actually able to interact with each other in some way. I want.
So, moving on to the next game. The Division. Now, this one, Ubisoft was
Tom Clancy thing
to show us gameplay, and I don't like it. Not only do I not like it because of the because the gameplay is very Tom Clancy.
What is a Tom Clancy game?
The main reason I don't like it is the plot. Because it opens the trailer basically opens with this guy describing how fragile our infrastructure is, how easily it could all collapse and all go away from us. And the fact is, no. You know what, man? Shit goes wrong every day. There's about 100 disasters a year. I'm guessing a good chunk of those affect the United States. I've probably got my numbers wrong, but you know what I mean? Shit goes wrong all the fucking time on massive scales.
Yep.
And everything's still working. We are not, to quote them, living in a house of cards. No. It does not fall apart from nothing. Also, you don't seem to understand how viral infections work. Oh, well, viruses can stay on money, so in the future, we're definitely all going to be wiped out by money. Like, they said it's a fact. Like, it's a fact. Sometime, a virus will wipe everyone out on money. It's like, no. Like, the chance of there actually being a virus capable of wiping out humanity is low unless someone stupidly just combines swine flu and avian flu. Which someone did for no reason.
And the idea of, like, hey, look, money, that is going to fuck everyone over. It seems like they're going for like some kind of subtle, like, it's some subtle commentary about how the infrastructure is actually like totally fucked and like how the economy is going to fuck us all over in the end.
Yeah.
It's social commentary in fucking Tom Clancy game.
Well, they even said that. They're like, it all runs on money. And then they go into the whole virus transfer on money thing. And then I guess the guy decided to, scare his audience by making it rain fake money.
I wonder if these guys realize that their company runs on money. You know, just saying. It's like, it makes sense for like the people like in the streets and stuff to, you know, be against money because, you know, they don't have any. But a multi-million dollar company, they should know how money works.
By the way, The Division is an online open world game where you can run into other groups of players who may or may not be friendly.
Oh, joy.
Once again, this online open world concept is cool, and it's coming to a lot of games. And if it worked for this concept, I wouldn't be looking into a next-gen console quite so much. Because while I don't online game that much, I kind of like the idea of this setup more. Like, even on Dead Island, which was not a good game, the way the online worked was good. And this is like that, but better.
Okay. Okay, then.
That was all I had for Ubisoft.
Okay, so, looking over here. One piece of news that got mentioned that you didn't talk about. So, Ubisoft has announced they're going to be releasing the original Far Cry game for the Xbox 360. It didn't make the cut during the press conference, but, you know, Ubisoft did mention this afterwards, but they've said that the original Far Cry will be coming to Xbox Live Arcade this summer for $7 or 560 Microsoft points. So, hey, that's good, I guess. So then, moving on to Sony.
Sony, Well, the first part of the press conference focused on PS3 and PS Vita. There wasn't a lot of new stuff there. There's a lot of games being ported to the Vita, including The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead, I believe it's 400... Oh, fuck, what's the title of the new Walking Dead game?
It's the 400 Days DLC.
The 400 Days DLC, yes. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of Vita ports. Like, they ran through them real quick, so I couldn't honestly make a full list of them.
Okay.
So moving right along to The Last of Us.
Okay, yeah, this is a game that's already out, but I really want it.
Yeah, there was a trailer, so I mentioned it, and just watching the trailer gave me some awful Walking Dead feelings. It's like, this brings back memories of The Walking Dead.
Oh, man.
So, next up, Beyond Two Souls.
Ah, yes, the new game from David Cage.
The trailer dropped an F-bomb, the first one Sony did in this press conference.
Oh, snap.
And it felt forced. Like, if you ever heard someone say fuck and it sounds really forced, like it really doesn't belong there, like they're saying fuck just for the shock value.
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like that. Anyways, yeah, Beyond Two Souls. It's kind of got the setup where you're a part of this, you know, top division secret organization. You sent out on an assassination mission and things go wrong.
Okay, so this is the people going to try to kill Ellen Page?
Yeah.
Okay. This is real Ellen Page, and this is real Ellen Page, not the fake Ellen Page from Beyond Two Souls. I mean, not Beyond Two Souls, I mean Last of Us. Who's the fake Ellen Page in Last of Us?
This is real Ellen Page.
Yeah, this is legit Ellen Page.
So next up was Gran Turismo. It's still Gran Turismo.
Okay. That's
Batman Arkham Origins. We saw a trailer for that.
Oh yes, how did that look?
It looked pretty good. The combat looks, you know, the same. The graphic style is awesome. And I like the Batman voice.
Okay, what's-his-face is doing a good job?
Yep. Ezio's doing fine.
Okay, yeah, Ezio. I keep forgetting it's Ezio.
It doesn't sound like Ezio. Like, I will say that. I expected him to... That's the one thing I was surprised, not disappointed, but surprised to find that they made him already sound so gruff. I expected him to go with a bit of a younger, more experienced sounding voice, but the voice he does still fits.
Okay.
He sounds like he could grow up into Kevin Conroy.
Outstanding.
And then next up was the actual console reveal.
Yeah.
And I just had to note this, whoever it was revealing it said mentioned they wanted to create a console of unparalleled power, which I keep thinking of in a cartoon voice. So
yeah, unparalleled power.
And when they actually showed us what it looked like, it's a pretty sleek looking console, but who cares what the console looks like?
Not me.
So, I would like to point out that up to this point, Sony was doing a real good job of only talking about video games. And then for a little while, they talked about non-game stuff.
Such as?
I don't know. I literally tweeted, the only news I am taking from Sony right now is not games. I refuse to report anything else. Now, here was my big issue. They didn't do this for long, but they were constantly saying how they did everything with gamers in mind, how they wanted to please gamers. Gamers, 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 gamers. Finally, I tweeted, gamers in mind. You know what gamers like? Games.
They're going for the very broad demographic. They're going for the EA strategy. Like, why just go for games? Some gamers might not like games that much. They might like TV or movies or something. Jokes.
Anyways, that...
Fuck you, EA.
That didn't go on for too long before we went into The Order.
Yes, 1886 thing.
Yeah, it's sort of steampunk monster hunting.
Huh.
Which I am not opposed to at all.
Nor am I.
And what we got was not a gameplay trailer, but an in-engine trailer. So the graphics look pretty fucking cool.
Okay, then.
But yeah, I can't say what the gameplay is going to be like, because it's just... So all I know is steampunk monster hunting.
Cool.
Killzone. It looks yes. like Killzone.
What a shock. I'm so blown away by this revelation.
Next up was Infamous Second Son.
Yeah, the new Infamous game. How'd that look?
I quite like it, actually. Like, I don't think they were showing gameplay, but I like the characters.
Yeah, it seems to be a thing with a... I remember, I think later on in... like in my, and I think... Infamous 2, they like started putting a bit more emphasis on like the character side of things.
Yeah, and yeah, that's all I can really say. I really like the characters. It looks like they've got some good gameplay ideas in mind for use of different abilities. It's basically what Prototype could have been if it was more awesome. I never played any Infamous games, so I can't really compare it to that.
Okay.
So, moving on briefly, they did a technical demo. Yeah, and basically the idea was to show that they could do realistic faces that don't look terrifying. Only thing is, they picked a guy with a terrifying face.
The old man?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
David Cage's old man. Like, that, the guy was showing up at the event. It was like David Cage was like the new PS4 has so many polygons. We could put 200,000 polygons in this man's face. You'll see he is doing the face right now. Like, that guy, he showed up at, like, fucking the event, and it was literally 20 seconds of an old man's face. No gameplay, nothing else, just a face.
No, this had a whole, like, acting reel in it. And apparently they made, like, a whole 7-minute technical demo that they're showing off later. Or was it 7-minute, or how long was that? I can't remember.
12-minute.
12-minute.
Yep, it'll be premiered tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. So I guess today, when you're hearing this.
So the next thing that was announced for the PS4 was a ton of indie titles. Including Transistor from the makers of Bastion, some things from the makers of Shank.
Yep.
I can't remember all of them because it was just like, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, indie.
Like, now some indie stuff. Boom, there you go.
So it's to say, if you like the humble indie bundles, go for the PS4.
If you like games, go for the PS4.
Diablo 3 is going to have some exclusive items on PS4. That was just briefly mentioned. So, I was a bit confused because my stream was skipping out a bit at this point. Final Fantasy Versus 13 has changed to become Final Fantasy 15.
Okay?
And it's not an RPG.
Wait, what?
Well, as far as I can tell, it's not really an RPG. Well, not... Okay, it's not a turn-based RPG. That's what I mean to say. It's not a turn-based RPG.
Okay. I was going to say, like, wait, what, a Final Fantasy game that is an RPG? What?
It's almost 1 a.m, dude. My brain is a bit broken. it's not a turn-based RPG. It's a third-person... sort of more action-y, but not too action-y, I don't think.
So they're kind of leaning more towards like the Kingdom Hearts style thing?
Yeah, speaking of Kingdom Hearts.
What?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Ah!
Ying! That's another thing that my stream is glitching out for. They're also HD remaking the other Kingdom Hearts, but
I give a fuck!
Kingdom Hearts 3! Kingdom Hearts 3.
Fucking finally! God damn! I need a PS4. I need it. I need it.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Sony has sold me a PS4.
I'm going to be able to sell quite a few PS4s for them that way just by being like, dude, Kingdom Hearts 3.
And then everyone will be like, everyone have the same reaction. Just like, ah! Oh, dear God.
I haven't even played the Kingdom Hearts games, but you know what? When the HD re-releases come out, I'll probably just buy the package on my PS4 because I'm getting a PS4 at some point.
I fucking love Kingdom Hearts. I fucking love Kingdom Hearts. One of my favorite RPG series ever. Ah!
So I just made a brief comment here that Sony is giving better demos of Ubisoft games than Ubisoft did.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Next big announcement. A game that I did not think was going to be a console release is coming to the PS4.
What game?
The Elder Scrolls Online.
Huh. I didn't think that would be released on consoles, period.
Yeah, neither did I, but it is coming to PS4, and PS4 users get an exclusive beta.
That is pretty cool. So, yeah.
We also got a new trailer for The Elder Scrolls Online, and it looks pretty badass.
Okay, cool.
Next trailer up. Mad Max.
Huh.
And my only comment on this was, ain't nobody got bullets for that. Because basically, pulls up to a guy. He's lying on the ground. He loots him. And the guy's just like, kill me. Kill me. Opens up his sawed-off shotguns. He only has one shell left. Walks away. Then runs him over with his car. And that was the trailer for Mad Max.
Wait, that doesn't make much sense either, because in Mad Max, like, while they're also running out of bullets, they're also running out of gas. Like, gas is one of the most expensive commodities in the Mad Max universe.
He's in the middle of nowhere and he's driving to another place anyways. I'm guessing running that guy over is on the way.
Get a rock.
There were no rocks.
Break his neck with your hands. Shout anti-Semitic slurs at him until he dies of shock.
So, here's where PS4 basically... Here's where Sony basically went to... They took all the notes from the Microsoft press conference and other Microsoft releases about the Xbox One and decided to say, bitch, please, this is how we're not doing what you're doing. So
they just had like an intern sitting in at the Microsoft press conference just taking notes?
So, how many games are there going to be for the PS4? In the first year, 100.
Fuck. How many of those are exclusive and new IPs?
They did say that, but I didn't get the number. They were announcing a lot of shit at once, including the next big thing. You can play used games on the PS4. Woo! No matter what. You can lend them as much as you want. You can sell them. You can buy them. The guy on stage basically started laughing at the cheering that happened. He's like, we like to support the systems that you guys use to get your games. Our biggest thing is pleasing you. And obviously from what you just did, we've done it. So, next big announcement for the PS4. There is no requirement to be online.
Yeah, they not actually at all. Did.
There's no check-in. You can be completely offline all the time.
Yeah, they actually did announce this a while ago. Like when they eventually revealed it, people were like, "Hey, so it's gonna be an online thing." And then like Shuhei Yoshida, who was like the I think it was Shuhei Yoshida, like, boss of Sony Worldwide Studios, was like, we understand that people are antisocial. The option's there, but if you don't want it, you don't need it.
Yeah, well, I guess this was their official announcement of it, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, people knew we're not doing what Microsoft's doing. They wanted to make it absolutely clear that there is absolutely no requirement to be online.
Yeah, they want people to know the next generation is Sony's.
Yeah, so you were mentioning how Xbox Live Gold will carry over to your Xbox One.
Yeah.
So will your PS Plus.
Okay.
Here's the other thing. The whole Xbox Live giving you some free games. Day one of PS4 release. Oh, what was the game? I had it up here. Da-da-da-da-da. Fuck, now I lost it.
Really should take better notes.
Yeah, I really should. No, I've scrolled way too far down now. I'm into Microsoft shit.
Oh, wow.
There's going to be a day one PS Plus member thing. Drive Club Plus PS Plus edition. Drive Club is just a driving game that's available on the PS4. That's all I really know about it. That's all they really showed. But there's a PS Plus version that you get on day one. Or as soon as possible, I guess. And then those previously mentioned indie games, one of those a month. For a
year. That is pretty cool.
That's what you get if you buy the PS4 and you're already a PS Plus member.
Yeah, dude. PlayStation is one.
So, next up, Destiny.
Yes, the Bungie thing.
Bungie and Activision, actually.
Yeah, I know, but everyone says, like, fuck Activision, it's a Bungie thing.
You can see the Activision in it.
Oh, I have no doubt. But people are very much in denial.
Well, here's the thing. There are very good elements to Halo, and there are some bad elements to Halo, and there's very good elements to Call of Duty, and a lot of bad elements to Call of Duty. I could say that from the gameplay I saw, they took the best of both.
Okay.
And also, it's online and open world. Fancy that, but there's these things that showed up. It's called a public event, so something can happen and it's a big world-changing event, and it prompts you as this is a public event, and then you can join that event and suddenly you are online with a whole bunch of people. Just like that.
That does sound really cool. Yeah, a lot of stuff I'm hearing this year sounds really cool.
Mostly the stuff you're hearing from me, right?
Well, some of the stuff from some
I cover
some
the of the cooler from, press conferences.
Yeah. Some of the stuff from EA was okay, I think.
Yeah, some of their stuff was pretty good. Well, Battlefront, fucking Battlefront.
Microsoft. While I won't ever buy their console ever again, they did a decent job of selling it to someone who was undecided.
Final piece of news for the PS4. The price tag is $399 US, 399 euros, or £349.
What is it with American companies and Japanese companies so overcharging the Europeans?
Because fuck Europeans, man. No, it's because it's a small market and it costs a lot of money to actually ship there.
It's almost as bad as the Australians. God, man. This is need to get bigger markets in Europe.
Yeah, it's not as big a market in Europe, so you have to pay more.
God, it would suck to be European.
Anyways, that is how much the PS4 will cost you. It's about $100 cheaper than the Xbox One and about 1,000 times better.
It is exactly $100 cheaper than the Xbox One.
Well, it's $101, isn't it? Unless you just round it up.
I rounded up.
Oh. Everyone's going to round this up to 400 then.
Yeah, well, everyone's getting it's actually $499. It's 500.
It's 500. Yeah. After taxes, it's going to be more than 500. It's going to be quite a bit more than 500. Adam, yeah. feel like, fuck it. Let me bring up my calculator. If you're in yeah. Canada, that is
563.87 dollars 87 cents.
Yep,
and keep in mind that's just for like the base thing. If you want like another controller, if you want games, that's just probably going to run you like $700.
Whereas the PS4 will run you 450.87.
Yeah, so quite a bit cheaper.
Yeah, actually, more than $100 cheaper after taxes.
Yeah. Well, in Canada, anyway.
In Canada.
So, Desto Prods, official, make an official statement. We are 100% behind the PS4 until they do something really stupid.
Yeah, no. PS4 wins. Yeah. I felt confident enough. I tweeted it.
Yeah.
PS4
assuming,
wins.
Yeah. Assuming we one day have money to buy a next-gen console, PS4 all the way. Nothing but PS4
I'm
coverage.
I'm optimistically hoping for Christmas, but it'll depend on what job situations are then.
Yeah. I won't be able to.
I am hoping for Christmas.
Besides, I am optimistically hoping for Christmas that I'll be getting a fucking camera so I can do video stuff. Because I want to do video stuff, damn it. But hey, I just... When I eventually move to a place that hopefully costs less to rent than the place I'm living in right now, I'll be able to save money and thus be able to eventually get the PS4 in 4 to 10 months. And that's, you know, a very conservative guess.
So yeah, starting today, I spend money on nothing because I want a goddamn PS4. I was so like before today, I was so like, I'm mad about the next-gen consoles. Then I saw some of the PS4 shit, and I'm like, God damn it, it's actually cool!
Yeah, like, when I first saw, like, started seeing PS4 stuff, I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome. And then the second I started hearing Xbox One stuff, I was like, oh, this is shit. But yeah, PS4, all the way. Desto Prods and PS4. Together, when we have the money.
I'll be honest. I was never really on any particular bandwagon, but I was more on the Sony side to begin with. I got an Xbox 360 because more of my friends played it.
I got the Xbox 360 because it was cheaper.
Yeah, but with this next gen, if any of my friends are like, actually, I have a friend who's like, I'm getting the Xbox One, Xbox all the way. I'm like, okay, dude. Have fun, because nobody else is getting that console.
Yeah, good for you, man. GG, have fun.
Just like, enjoy not playing online with me or anybody else, because...
Yeah. Enjoy keeping your games forever. And ever. And ever. And ever.
Because even if they don't block you trading them in... Who's going to buy Xbox One games? Nobody.
Some asshole. Actually, they said, the only people who will actually accept the games are like participating retailers. So even if you can't, even if you want to trade it in and you have the ability to trade it in, you only trade it in at certain stores.
Fuck, so, probably won't even have any in Canada.
Yeah, so... if you live in a city with an American GameStop, you're probably okay. Everywhere else, you are fucked. But yeah, that was day zero. Yeah. 3 more days to go. My head hurts.
This year's day zero, like, huge on the news.
Day zero is big. Day zero is a big deal. People want, you know, they actually want like the official like things for E3 to just be open so people can go out and play their games. They don't want to waste. They want to waste like 7 hours having people just waiting. They don't want to waste 7 hours of floor time for to have people sit in a chair and hear them tell about all the awesome great games they have. Day before, they say, hey, guess what? Here are all the games we're having. These are playable at the event. Go. There's not a press conference next. Then tomorrow, play the games.
Yeah, it's a good way to set it up. I could think it would be a lot better if, say, Dig in London set it up that way. In fact, it would be good if Dig in London set up any good, like, come play some of these new games. But no, there's a gaming room, but it's run by volunteers, and like, why are the developers that are at Dig not being like, oh, here's a demo of our upcoming games. Why don't you play it?
I don't know. Anyway. So that was Zero. Thank y'all for joining us. We may or may not be back to do other postmortems for like days 1 through 3. And we may or may not be back to do other podcasts this week. I don't know. I keep forgetting that I have so much goddamn work to do during E3. It's so much. I don't know if I'll have time to do anything else.
All right, I'll talk to you about that afterwards. But till then, let's sign off.
Yeah, so be sure to check back on the site this week for news and trailers and stuff from E3. And until we talk to you guys again on the Dead Band.
I'm Bovio1.
See you guys later.